If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of...
And Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuel, so on fro, was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
This is Madam Langman.
This is
Hard Facts.
What should the sustainable petrol supply regime look like? What should a sustainable petrol supply regime look like? It's 1 minute past five. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and this is Hard Facts. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. I've said that before. We are here on Nigeria Info 99.3. You know, petrol supply is in the news a lot, and it's in the news again because, the NNPC says that it now costs them 120 billion naira a month to keep petrol at the current pump price. That's our big hard fact for today. Nigerians are on the edge of their seats waiting to know if the pump price will go up next month. We heard from Melek Yari, he's NNPC's group managing director. And he's saying that NNPC cannot sustain this for much longer, 120 billion naira a month for much longer. So clearly, we should expect the pump price to go up sometime soon. Kiari talked about the end of April, so they have time to come up with an agreement with the labor unions. Now, I have a guest who's joining me to have this conversation. He's an analyst with Naira Metrics, William Ukpe. Thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
Good evening, Sandra. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very clearly. Good evening.
Yeah.
Lagos, you can also join the conversation, right? Tell me what you think about NNPC saying that they're losing 120 billion naira a month to keep the price of fuel down. Do you think subsidy, by whatever name they call it, is sustainable?
Actually, it's not sustainable. And our Minister of Finance, Zainab Ahmed, she actually announced during the start of this year that it's not sustainable, and there's no provision for subsidy in the budget. Now, like what Kyari says, that NNPC buys the fuel at 234 naira per litre, and they sell it at 162 naira per litre. So that difference is at ranging about 120 billion naira. If you multiply it by, yeah, that's close to 1.4 trillion naira.
Right.
It is not sustainable, especially if you look at Nigeria's budgetary constraints. When you look at debt service to budget ratio, how much you are paying for this, how much you are paying for that, and all that. So it's just not sustainable. And NNPC has actually been, if you look at Mele Kyari and Temi Presuva, they've actually been consistent since last year talking about subsidies. Because I think if you look at the price of fuel too, as of today it's $63. Start of the year it was about $51 per barrel. So their own costs are increasing because the price is increasing, so it's not just sustainable in the long run for them.
Now, can you help us clarify something? What's the difference between fuel subsidy and under-recovery? What's the difference?
Okay, I don't know if you can remember, 3 years ago, Kemi Adeosun, she actually spoke about the difference, but a lot of Nigerians were angry because they felt like they were getting bamboozled. Now, under recovery, because she mentioned this 3 years ago, she said under recovery is a loss on importation of petrol taken on by the NNPC itself. So basically she says there's no subsidy program in the sense that, oh, we are giving money to companies to imports for import subsidies of fuel. Now NNPC is just going to take it on yourself. So that's what under recovery means.
Oh, I see. Now, NNPC admitted that it was absorbing the price differential between landing cost and pump price, roughly 120 billion last month.
Yes.
Can you explain why this has been happening in spite of the NNPC's previous insistence that pump price will now reflect market forces?
I think it's related to what you said earlier, the meetings with the labor unions, because it's not something they can just switch off. or switch on rather. I don't know if you understand. So we have to have the meetings and all that. And you have to put in place or have a reminder of other constraints like food inflation and other inflation and other inflations and all that. So it was affecting everything. And obviously the crude oil price has also increased so far. So they've just taken on the under recovery of it all. But like Mele Kyari said, no more. They can't sustain it. So and we just wait to see.
All right. How likely do you think, how likely is it that before May, NNPC and the labor unions will have come to an agreement about the price regime for petrol?
Honestly, seeing the, I don't know if you're on Twitter, you saw the reactions the day when everyone thought, when PPRA put on their website and PPRA quickly took out that price
that
guidance
part
on their
website. Yeah.
So honestly, I don't know. This may continue because NNPC is not ready for the heat. Nobody is ready for the heat right now. So let's just wait and see. But it's a possibility, but
You don't know. You know, some people say that both subsidy and under recovery are meant to achieve the same thing, paying for a reduction in pump price, right?
Yeah.
And they just approach it from different sides of the ledger. So you've got subsidy involving a payment from NNPC to fuel importers to make up for the difference between landing cost and pump price.
Yes.
And then you have NNPC as the sole importer. I have to ask you why NNPC is still the sole importer of petrol right now. Why?
They are the only ones that can afford it for now, literally.
What do you mean?
I mean, the subsidy regime was expensive. So that's why under recovery is kind of cheaper for like Nigeria in the long run, in the sense that they just get the product at pump price, the pump price of 234 naira and sell at 162 naira. Because we had, remember, close to 10 years ago, we had a whole protest over this, and we had the panels, and it was a mess. It was a complete mess. So for now, they are the sole importers because they can afford it, or they can take like, they can soak in all the pressure from it.
So they absorb the loss.
Yeah, so they can they absorb the loss. They are the only ones that can afford it. And from what Mele Kyari is saying, no more. NNPC, last week, he pretty much said, I think, quote unquote, NNPC can no longer, is no longer in the position to carry out this burden because we cannot continue it on our books.
Right.
So
What do you think about those who talk about Forex as well? Because the CBN is trying to keep Naira's value from dropping. So they're restricting access to Forex as well. So they removed petrol importers from the list of businesses allowed to buy Forex from the CBN.
Yeah, well, lately, I don't know if you can remember. That's also a good, that's also a good assumption. Actually, it's not an assumption. It's actually true.
Okay.
But if you can remember, Dangote said like 3 weeks ago or something that owners of fuel refineries should be allowed to import fuel. I don't know if you can
remember. Right, I remember that.
So it's also that. It's also that. Basically, what we are seeing with fuel is a bigger problem with how the Nigerian economy is being governed, because everything is down to policy, competent policy, and how to, what's the word here, and how to execute. So you cannot just do X here and don't do X there. Everything is connected in the end, in the long run.
I have to ask you, how this thing, this situation where they are the sole importer, how does it affect, or how is it affecting distribution? Because we've seen issues in the past where both depot owners and petrol marketers have complained about late supply from NNPC.
Exactly, like we've seen it so far. Obviously, it's going to affect distribution because they are the main player. And you know what they say about Nigerian government being the main player in the game, because we are just not efficient with it. So obviously, there will be some value chain. It's expected, to be fair, when the Nigerian government is the sole player in the downstream sector for this kind of thing. So they will have hiccups here and there. To be fair, it's expected. So unless there's a full deregulation so far.
Lagos, let's talk, shall we? What do you think about NNPC saying that they're losing 120 billion a month to keep the fuel price down? Do you think subsidy, by whatever name it's called, is sustainable? What do you think should be done going forward to provide a sustainable petrol supply. 01465-7190. That's our number for female callers. 01465-7190. For men, 0700-993-993-993-0700-993-993-993. Odinaka is on the line. Odinaka, good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Okay.
You're live on the show now. You're talking to Sandra. Go ahead.
Okay. Please help me to ask the man, what is the landing cost of bringing one barrel of crude oil, one barrel of petrol into Nigeria? And what is the cost of producing one barrel of petrol? Because the reason for always subsidizing the price is always landing cost is increasing, landing cost is increasing, landing cost is increasing. What exactly is the landing cost for bringing in petrol into the nation? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. William, do you know the landing cost?
Not really, but I can go with the market prices estimate that Kyari says, which is per liter, not per barrel. I don't know.
Yeah, it's per liter he mentioned, yes.
Okay. Per barrel, they said, I think it's they said between 211 to 234 naira per liter.
Landing cost,
Yeah, and they sell market price 162 naira. So that's, like I said, the difference is about 120 billion a month.
99.3.
Yeah, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank God you picked my call again. Now, connected back to you.
Who's this?
Okay. So, concerning
what's your name?
NFCC,
what's your name?
Osan Emmanuel.
Osan, welcome.
Yeah.
All right, welcome.
Sure. Let me ask our guest that is with you. Please, the remaining products, you know, we have many content inside crude oil. Where are the remaining ones now? Who is in charge of it? What are they? You don't understand. Who are they? Did they sell it off the black market in the offshore? I don't understand. They are shut now. They can't feed the waste. They can't subsidize the fuel anymore. So the load will now come to we Nigeria that don't have road, we don't have school. We provide life for ourselves. We provide security for ourselves. Common small fuel subsidy that we are still buying expensive, but they want to remove their hand. What of the many content inside the fuel, like inside the crude oil? We are just only fuel. What of the many content?
Okay.
Who is the franchise going to? As in, where are they selling this off the black market? That's what I want to ask.
Thank you very much for calling. William?
Yeah, I believe he's asking like diesel and other.
Yes, the rest of the things gotten from the crude oil, the rest of the derivatives.
Yeah, I believe NNPC is also in charge of some of the things that are under the old subsidy list, because I believe diesel should not be part of it. For
diesel is not subsidized, and kerosene is not subsidized.
Exactly. So, but I believe they also bring it in and they sell it market rate, if I'm not mistaken. So. But obviously, it's also related to our gas plan now. That's the national gas plan, because they found out that they say gas is cheaper than, auto gas is cheaper than petroleum. So that's why we have the whole gas plan to convert engines to, gas engines, so that it would be cheaper for Nigerians instead of using petrol. So that's what you should tell me.
Do you think private importers should be allowed to access forex to bring in petrol?
Yes, sure. I mean, okay, I'm speaking from my own bias here, because I'm a free market capitalist.
Okay.
If you have the money to do it, do it. Really, just do it. If you have the money to do it, do it. It takes off a lot of pressure from NNPC's hand, really. So do it.
But how about CBN's worry about the Naira's value dropping?
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Okay.
Remember when I said that everything is related? You cannot do X here and not do and leave X, because everything is related.
Okay.
Now, Nigerians are complaining. Yes. Do Nigerians have to pay market prices for fuel? Yes. Are Nigerian salaries increasing? No. Now, what do you do in this kind of situation? You have to obviously open the economy, you have to liberalize, you have to centralize, you have to restructure the economy. You basically have to go like hyper, like times two of what Obasanjo just did with his reforms agenda that built a building, a growing middle class during the whole African rising period. So it's not just about, okay, we're going to deregulate and Nigerians will pay market price. Nigerians cannot afford market price. So the best thing you do in this situation is you implement policies that improve GDP per capita.
And next thing, with like compounded growth, everything adds up along the years. So that's what they should do.
Tell me what you mean by restructure the economy. What do you mean by that?
Literally the lifting of the exclusive list, really. Just that.
Okay.
Take off a lot of things from government hands, because Nigeria, the government has too many costs. And because of that, we don't see where you expect the government to like put their eyes on competent governance, that's like healthcare. And for example, with the resident doctor strike, it should not be happening in the middle of a pandemic. You understand? So what the Nigerian government needs to focus on competent governance, because their costs are too much. It's too high. They need to cut their costs. They need to like decentralize like the cost of governance to the states and the regions. That's in restructure. Take off the exclusive list. For example, mineral resources are on the exclusive list. You take it out. Let states Let states maximize like their own potential. Then the companies there will pay taxes to the state, pay taxes to the local government, pay taxes to the federal government, and all that. It takes a lot of pressure off the government hands. That's what it is.
Okay, Lagos, we're still taking your thoughts on this subject. What do you think about NNPC saying that they're losing 120 billion a month to keep the fuel price down? You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. William Okwe is an analyst with Nairametrics. Nairametrics, of course, an online publication looking at Nigeria's economy, Nigeria's policy, etc., etc. And he's joined us on the show today to talk about this matter with us. Ben in Unilag, let's talk to you. Hello.
Hello, good evening, ma'am.
Good evening.
Yeah, I was speaking to a friend who is directly involved in this oil business around Apapa. And he was saying that then the landing cost is 186 naira. But the government, I don't know how he said it, that he was saying it in such a way that the landing cost is lower lower than the price. So they're actually incurring losses. And the only way they make gain is to cause a bit of a panic.
Okay.
So they create a bit of a panic in the system, and everybody start rushing to buy. And from there, they will increase the price, and then they make their money. But I couldn't ask him properly about the deficit. Is the government paying the deficit to you, or they are not paying the deficit? So that we know whether the government is even paying subsidy or not. Because up to now, we're still shrouded in the secrecy on uncertainty whether they are paying subsidy or not.
Well, they have been paying, but
they are not officially put it out there.
But they don't want to pay any more. Well, I mean, if you are absorbing the cost of a thing and you are providing it at a loss to the citizens, you're covering the rest of that cost, right? So you're subsidizing it. Whatever name you decide to call it, that's what it is. Ben, thank you very much for calling. William, Nigerians are not very taken with this deregulation of pump price idea. It's not very popular with Nigerians. I remember that before NSAR, Occupy Niger was the biggest protest that Nigeria had seen in a while, right? Because Nigerians did not want deregulation of palm price. But government says that subsidizing prices is not sustainable. So what do you see happening? What do you see as a long-term solution?
Long-term? Okay, now let's start with September last year. They had already started talking about deregulation.
Right.
That's with refineries, not even with fuel.
Right.
Because Mele Kyari said something around like they want to get an LNG like type structure with the four refineries.
Right.
And
right.
Government wants to play a minority stake. And they said once they rehabilitate, Nigeria becomes a major exporter of fuel and all that. It's going to happen. The body language of Mele Kyari and Timi Presiva is pointing towards deregulation.
Right.
It is going to happen. Now, like I said earlier, Nigerians cannot afford it because their salaries are not rising. So it's something that needs, it needs interagency cooperation, collaboration. Are we going to increase, would market prices be expensive for Nigerians? Yes. What do we have to do to make Nigerians earn more and not feel it too much? That is what they have to do.
Yeah, but between now and the time when they are going to allow market prices take sway, Nigerians are not going to start earning more. So what do you see happening?
Honestly, now this depends on the the meetings they've been having with organized labor.
It has been kind of slow, really. Right.
The process has been a bit slow. So it's just for us, wait and see what's going to happen, because at this point, I can't tell when it's going to happen, when the D-Day will come or it will come.
Where did you stand in 2012?
2012, I was pro-subsidies then, until they had the whole the town hall meetings with Sanusi and Okonjo-Iweala, and they explained it, and I was like, okay, fine, we need to do subsidies, because they actually did explain why earlier.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I wonder where people who are calling me now were in 2012 and where they are today. Lagos, I'm still taking your calls. What do you think about NNPC? NNPC is saying that they're losing 120 billion a month to keep the price of fuel down. Do you think subsidy, by whatever name it's called, is sustainable? And what do you think should be done going forward to provide a sustainable petrol supply? Dan P is on the line. Hello, Dan P. Welcome.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, Dan P. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, let me tell you the truth. These people, they are telling us lies.
Okay.
Let me tell you, because right from time, you know, the government have been subsidizing it for us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do for us as a government? We are not gaining anything from you. No road, no good road, everywhere insecurity. No jobs. People are losing jobs, and you are trying to make life hard and difficult for your citizens.
Hmm.
Whereby in other countries, this COVID-19 time, they are supporting their citizens so that they will not feel it. And you are saying you want to increase, you want to stop subsidizing it. Let me to ask this man. Why is it that the government, you said the laws are heavy for government. If the laws are heavy for the government, why did they not give other people license to import the fuel? You are saying the load is heavy for the government. If it's heavy for the government, why are you restricting the licenses for people to import fuel and do things that we give other investors, to make investors to come to Nigeria to invest and make people get employed? You are saying that the load is heavy for the government. The government, they are not doing anything. They are telling us lies. That is it.
All right. Dan P., thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello. 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 All right. Sorry about that.
Are you talking to me?
No. I took another call. Let's go to WhatsApp where we have some comments. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Sandra, like the words of Zebudiah about NNPC losing money. Fa, 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 foul. Thank you for your message. Sandra, fuel price deregulation. This endless conversation is brought about by a glaring lack of proactiveness by successive governments. Refineries not working, new ones not built, save the ongoing Dangotes. Pure confusion. Government taking the least line of resistance. Do you think that that's what's happening here? I'll come to William with that question after I take a call. Hello, thank you for calling. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Oh, no. Sorry about that. Hello. Hello. Oh, no. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Tommy.
Your name is?
Chummy.
Chummy. Hi, Chummy. Welcome. You're live on the show. Go ahead.
Sandra.
Yes.
Please, let them give our brothers license to import, like the other caller said.
Okay.
Fuel will become 100 naira, 50 naira.
Okay.
Let them just try it. Our brother, our evil boys will just get it done now. Why are they jealous? They should just release the license. You understand? They should. In fact, I keep saying this government should stop doing anything. Let them just pay salary. No more contracts, because they are just ripping Nigeria off with these Chinese people. No more. They should just pay salaries and go. Give licenses. Let these guys bring in more this fuel, please. Mm. They can do it. Yes, let them try the private sector. And the other things, they are giving private sector.
Mm.
Or you have fuel importation to private sector.
Mm.
Good evening, dear.
Chummy, thank you very much for calling. All right, do we have time to take a call? I think we can take one final call and then take a break. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Femi.
Femi, turn your radio off, then go ahead.
It's off already.
All right, go ahead.
The questions we need to ask the government is, why is the refinery not working? Why is it not working? Why did they finally go to the church to ensure the refineries are working? Have they forgotten that even the 20,000 they are selling at minimum wage is not all the things that are pleased? So if all the things are not pleased, even all the things that are pleased, what can 20,000 do? What do they find going to be caught to allow private hands to report us? Simply because they know what the hell is done, they won't get the outcome. They are just being sincere. So you know the same government that was condemning this thing when they are here. Why have they found it very difficult to do this magic? Those are the questions we need to ask. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much for calling. We've got messages here. Why are they destroying the locally made refineries in the name of bad petrol that will destroy cars and what have you? I'm surprised that Nigerians are not asking the government why they're not paying salaries with market price or international prices, but they're selling in petrol. They're selling the petrol in international price. Edward in Victoria Island with that comment on WhatsApp. We've got more messages coming in via WhatsApp. Henry Emmanuel says, I'm very surprised that states and local governments have been silent, despite the fact that under recovery paid by NNPC reduces the amount that goes to the FAC monthly. And these states are in terrible fiscal conditions. All right, Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. What should a sustainable petrol supply regime look like? That's the conversation we're having. William Mukwe is from Naira Metrics, and he's sharing insights with us. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Hard Facts. It's 5:36. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and today we're asking, what should a sustainable petrol supply regime look like? Now, having this conversation with us is an analyst from Naira Metrics. His name is William Mukwe, and he's been sharing some insights with us on the subject. We've talked about what the difference between a subsidy and under recovery is. We've talked about the NNPC admitting that it was absorbing the price differential between landing cost and pump price. We talked about why NNPC is still the sole importer of petrol right now. We've talked about how this situation is affecting distribution. We've also talked about how sustainable this is long term. And Lagos, you have also joined the conversation by calling and texting and tweeting. Now, let's move on a bit. Let's move the conversation forward a bit. Deregulation of pump price, like we mentioned before the break, isn't very popular amongst Nigerians. In fact, there's an ongoing debate about the turnaround maintenance of the Port Harcourt refinery. William, what are the prospects of that project? Is it realistic to expect the four NNPC refineries to address local demand in the foreseeable future?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
It's very realistic. The problem with NNPC and with Nigeria is that there's a difference between possibility and their capacity to achieve the reality. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay.
Now, last year, Mayor Kerry said that they have a plan for all the four refineries, not turnaround maintenance, complete rehabilitation of the refineries, and passing off control of the refinery to a private market partner.
Mm-hmm.
And all, apart from that, he also mentioned about exporting petroleum products.
Mm-hmm.
That's refined petroleum products. That means if their plan all comes together, they'll not only service the Nigerian market, they'll mm-hmm. service the African market, as we have the African Continental Free Trade Agreement.
Agreement, right.
Going on so far. So, yeah, it's possible. That's why they talked about the $1.5 billion. And why it was so expensive, because according to Minister of Minister of Petroleum, Minister of State for Petroleum,
mm-hmm.
Femi Praise-Silva, he
mm-hmm.
said that the plan is to like build, rehabilitate it optimally, and pass it on or concession it to a private private company to handle, because obviously you're not going to give them crap to, or something that is not well done to handle. So that's the whole point of the whole rehabilitation.
Hmm.
But let's wait and see. Obviously, there have been a lot of backlash to it, because 1.5 billion is a lot. There are many other things we could do with that.
Now I have heard some critics say that all past turnaround maintenance has failed, and that these refineries are now so old that this is essentially a white elephant. What do you think? What do you say to that?
Malachi Harris said this is not turnaround maintenance. He said this is full rehabilitation. I don't know if that makes sense, because he said it's different. Now, turnaround maintenance is like maybe how would I put it now? It's just to maintain a few things here or there. He said every part of the refinery is going to get rehabilitated one by one. And he also mentioned something. He said that the process of the whole rehabilitation started 10 years ago, but there have been quite a number of mistakes that have happened with the whole process. So that's why maybe when they got the deal, part of the agreement of the deal was that after the rehabilitation, the whole operations of the refinery goes to the hands of a private sector player.
A lot of Nigerians say that government should continue subsidizing petrol until they've built enough refineries to handle domestic demand. And I want us to break that position down. First of all, for how long can government sustain the subsidy? Second of all, and I hope you can remember all the questions, I'll remind you if you don't, can government build enough refining capacity in that period to meet demand? And third, should government be in the business of building refineries in the first place?
Okay, let's start with the last one. Government should not, we all know Nigeria. We've seen what happened when Nigeria deregulates. We've seen it with telecoms. We've seen it with banking. We've seen it with pension. Long-term solution, government has no business operating markets. We have all seen now, it's not like we are working with the Chinese government here, we're working with the Nigerian government. They have no business operating businesses. We've seen it. So long-term, I would say what they should do, they should kind of play a regulatory role, actually with modular refineries, to handle like the differences here. Once they do the turnaround maintenance, they're not going to operate it, and that's good. Once they do the complete rehabilitation of the four refineries, they're not going to handle it. That's if they're even successful with that. But we can also look at modular refineries where they can also help, in the sense that they can form a regular, they could form like some PPP stuff, or some, they could play a smaller, what's the word here, a minority shareholder roles, and they could tell like, oh, big other investors, okay, if you bring certain capital requirements, we're going to back you up to this level, you run your modular refineries. Because to be fair, refining is a very, very low margin business. It's not something that is a lot of money with margin. So it's something that needs serious, strong state capacity, or capacity really. And we don't have that, so they shouldn't be there. What was the other question again?
And then, for how long can they sustain this thing? For how long can they sustain the subsidy?
The under recovery?
Yes.
Honestly, from what Kyari said last week, pretty much they are done. But I don't know. It depends, like I said, depends on their meetings with organized labor. So for now, we see. But for them to come out to say, oh, we cannot continue to keep this difference in our books. It is hurting them, because for them to say it means it's hurting them.
So if you're saying they're done, it means that they then have to build enough refining capacity like yesterday to meet demand, which means...
They have to do that, but for now, me and I know what they'll do. They are going to start getting the whole imports and selling the market prices around maybe 211 to 238 naira. So that's what they'll do for now.
But subsidy makes petrol, or under recovery, whatever you want to call it, it makes petrol cheaper, meaning it's harder for a private refinery selling its own petrol to compete. So doesn't that mean that investors will be unlikely to invest in refining as long as Nigeria has a, whatever you call it, subsidy?
Obviously, because if you can remember, part of the entire Jonathan's first subsidy was part of the process of fraud deregulations then. Now, Dangote has already said that he's going to sell his fuel at market prices, meaning that, to be fair, this whole process of taking off, of stopping under recovery of subsidies rather, is going to make it attractive for the Nigerian market. Problem is, the Nigerian market cannot just afford it at market prices for now. And that's why we have to see, and all, they have to. It's not just about, okay, selling for our market prices. It's about other economic reforms to improve GDP per capita, to improve earnings, to improve jobs and all that. That's what I said earlier.
Lagos, let's talk, shall we? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. For women, 01465-7190. 01465-7190. What do you think about NNPC saying that they're losing 120 billion a month to keep the fuel price down? Do you think subsidy, by whatever name it's called, is sustainable? And what do you think should be done going forward to provide a sustainable petrol supply? 99.3, hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, what's your name?
I'm Blessing.
Blessing, welcome. Turn your radio off, then go ahead. Oh no, Blessing, sorry about that. Let's talk to Ben. Ben is in Surulere. Hello, Ben.
Yes, Sandra, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm calling from Surulere. I just wanted to ask, the crude oil we are talking about,
right.
The crude oil does it not belong to Nigeria?
It does.
So what happens to the crude oil from here?
We're not refining it here. We send it out to refine and then we import it.
Okay, so when we send out for refining, what's the process? Do we pay for refining and buy it back?
And now that's the entire idea for importing it. You now buy the processed crude, and the processed crude comes in as petrol, it comes as diesel, it comes as kerosene. You pay for that.
Sandra, our government just don't want to help Nigeria at all. And I believe that they are trying to increase the price of fuel so that by the time Dangote refinery kicks on, the price will remain at that or probably still increase. That's what I see.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben, for calling. We appreciate it. Ben says they're doing this for Dangote. I don't think they're doing it for Dangote, to be honest with you. If you're looking at just the data in front of you, data doesn't suggest they're doing it for Dangote. Data suggests that they've run out of money. They can't afford to do it anymore. They can't afford to keep fuel cheap anymore. And so they're like, you know what? Let the market forces take over. Let's talk to... Abbas? All right, Abbas, good to have you on the show.
Yes. The question that was asked, that the older fractions from the crude oil, what do they do with it? The man didn't answer. Mr. Williams didn't answer it properly. What do they do with that? Don't we have any money coming in from there? That's the question. Thank
you. Okay, all right. William, the other derivatives...
I thought we answered that now, that there's no subsidy on diesel and the other one. So, because we sell crude, we don't manufacture it.
Mm-hmm.
We sell the crude. So we don't manufacture it here. We don't refine it here.
Mm.
So what we do is literally just sell crude, really. Then we get the differences in imported refined products, really. So we don't refine kerosene and diesel and others here in Nigeria. We don't. However, they started an autogas policy, which will make Nigeria use gas instead of petrol for their cars, which is cheaper. So we want to start maximizing that. So we'll just wait and see for now.
All right. Let's talk to more people. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
My name is Gabriel. I'm calling from the...
Gabriel, go ahead.
Thank you. Sandra, is the government are not cheating us? They will take the crude oil from our country and take it to other country and go and refine it. The white men there, the white country, they will have a cheaper rate and they will take all that remina and they will import it back to us and they will come and sell for us at a high price. That means the government is not helping us. They are totally cheating us. That is not fair. It's not fair to government at all.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Well, government does... Well, I don't know. William, what do you say to that?
I don't understand.
He says government is cheating us because government takes the crude and takes it out to other countries to go and refine and then imports our fuel and sells it expensively to us. So government is cheating us.
Oh, well,
I won't use it. I won't say cheating us, because they have plans to rehabilitate the refinery so that they won't take the crude out anymore.
Right.
So, but it's something that it's painful, because I can understand when Nigerians will say, why are they spending $1.5 billion now when we need all the money we can get? So, right. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay, well, we've got Piro in Ikeja who says, I agree with those who said that the government is lying. I suspect a lie to blindfold the citizenry so that they can scoop money up for 2023. They keep bragging about subsidizing petrol, whereas the people stand to gain nothing from the government. Okay. More messages here. Is your guest speaking for the government? No, he's not.
Thank God.
William, are you speaking for the government?
No, I'm just using what NNPC data, really, what NNPC heads of authority and what the Ministry of Petroleum has been saying, really. I'm not speaking for the government.
We've got another message here. Forward-looking countries ensure they control critical sectors of their economies. But the reverse is the case in Nigeria. Nigeria is oil and gas, and oil and gas is Nigeria. If it takes local refining or the much-touted modular refining to be self-sufficient, so be it. All right. Thank you very much for your message. You didn't leave your name, though, but you're sending really great messages. We've got Bass from Austin, Texas. He says, Nigerian government should be serious for once and build refineries, build refineries, build refineries, and stop all these landing cost drama and subsidy grammar. Okay. We've got another person here who's saying, why not sell the other products of our daily crude and use the money for field? But yeah, like William has been saying, we don't even refine those other products here. Am I right, William?
Yeah, we don't refine it, no.
Because everyone keeps coming back to that, the other products from crude, sell it. But we're not even refining those here. We're refining all of it in the abroad. We've got more people who are sending us messages, but I think I'll take a call and then we'll let William go. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. Good evening.
My name is Olalekan. I'm calling from Maryland.
Olalekan, you're calling our line for women, so call back, okay?
99.3. Sorry. Hi, I'm Sandra.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Dimiji. I'm calling from Lekki.
Welcome, Dimiji. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I'm actually surprised that I got through. So first and foremost, yeah, I just wanted to address, so a lot of people don't seem to be understanding the questions about why don't they just sell the other proceeds from the other refined products, diesel and kerosene. So I'm sure your guest has already done a lot of explanation, but once we produce the crude, once we get it out of the ground, what the government does is they sell the raw material, right? So the products that we're getting back, the ones we're buying, what we're essentially paying for is the added value. So the foreign countries that have already refined the product, there's a value add in the sense that there's a process that goes into converting the raw material into your finished product, ergo your kerosene, your diesel, and the other products. So the additional cost is, one, the value add from refining, which we don't have the capacity in country to do, not yet. And then secondly, is the cost of shipping it back to Nigerian shores.
Mm-hmm.
The NNPC is doing a great job in the sense that they are the sole importers. That helps keep the market at a level playing field for the marketers. If the marketers were to import it, eventually, market forces would come to play and level out the playing field. But all the NNPC is doing right now is that they're making that playing field quite level. So for the subsidy one, I'm also quite surprised that this is the same government that said in, I think, the interview at Chatham House with the now president, before he was president, said anybody that tells you they're subsidizing anything is being fraudulent, that there's no subsidy going on. Mm. And now they're not calling it subsidy. They're choosing to say, oh, they are paying for the difference between the landing cost and the market price.
Mm.
And it's just quite surprising that they've been subsidizing, essentially, because that's what they're doing. They've been subsidizing for the past 5 to 6 years. And I just hope that they get it right. I hope that they're able to work out a solution. If it's rehabilitating all the refineries, if it's getting more modular refineries, the gas initiatives that the government has been trying to put in place over the past couple of years. I just hope, really, that because it's not going to be just this administration, the next two administrations, for instance, still have a lot of work to do. So I really just hope that I'm quite optimistic for Nigeria, and I hope that we get it right.
So you don't think that they should open up the market to private hands to get into the market as well? Because if you have just the NNPC as sole importer, that's not sustainable, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. Absolutely not. It's not sustainable. So I would suggest that they come up with a plan that addresses all the risks involved and establishes the best cost-benefit option for them. So NNPC can still be the sole importer for now, but then what are the other things that they have to do in place before they open up that market to the private investors or the private individuals? Because then they will still have to take on the role of regulation if they open up to private players. So there's certain things that have to be in place before they can open up the market to the private players. And we all know Nigeria, regulation is something that is not really done very well. Once government gets in the habit, the government, like your guest said, they have no business in being in business. And I would like to add that they sometimes have no business being in regulation, as you can see with the whole SIM card registration and NIN issues that we're experiencing right now.
Dimeji.
Yeah, so that's my take on that.
Let's leave it at that. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. And William Mukwe, analyst from Naira Metrics, thank you as well for sharing your time with us on Hard Facts today.
You're welcome.
All right, Lagos, let's give you a chance to win 10,000 naira, shall we? My name is Sandra Ezekwesili. Creditville makes it possible for you to win on the show every single day. So let's ensure that you go home with some cool cash today, shall we?